You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
And joined now on the phone by Dr. Beth Ricinati, who is the author of Braided, A Journey of a Thousand Challas. Hello, Beth.
Hello.
So, I guess the first question, because a lot of people probably don't know this for sure, what is challa?
Well, a challah is a bread that is a bread that nourishes us both physically and spiritually. We make it every Friday for Shabbat in the Jewish tradition, and I started making it about 10 years ago.
Wow. Okay, so the name of your book, Braided, A Journey of a Thousand Challas, if you've only been doing it once every Friday for the last number of years, you haven't made 1,000 yet.
Oh, I've actually made many more because I stopped counting at 1,000. We make two every week just for starters, but I now probably make at least double that every week. So it's become quite a wonderful tradition in our family and for our children and for their friends. And now, actually, since the book's release last fall, I've been making it with all kinds of different groups and communities. So I make it quite a bit now, which is really fun.
So how did you get into, is challah, as you said, it's sort of a part of the Jewish tradition. Is that how you got into making it, was as part of that tradition?
I'm not sure I heard your question clearly.
You
asked if challah was part of the tradition, or is that why I started making it?
Yes.
Okay, well, actually, as a little bit of backstory, I started making it because I am a physician and a mother of three, and about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, when the kids were little and I was working, I was very overwhelmed and trying to do too many things, and it was the time of the Jewish New Year, so it was in the fall that year, and a friend of mine suggested that I make challah as part of the celebration for the new year. And while that, in theory, sounds like a great idea, I'm not a baker normally, and it was sort of one more thing to add to an already full plate. But the way she talked about it, it just sounded wonderful, and I did it. I made challah that year for the Jewish New Year, and it was the most incredible experience. I had never baked bread, and to just stop and to just be at my kitchen counter with the six ingredients in a bowl. I wasn't answering my pager. I wasn't in the hospital. I wasn't picking up toys or doing something with the kids. I just was taking a moment to be present and to be mindful. And then at the end of it, we had the most incredible homemade bread. So it was a win-win. And I kept doing it.
So now, six ingredients. What are the six ingredients for a challah?
They are flour, sugar, eggs, salt, oil, and then yeast.
Okay.
To make it rise.
Yeah.
So that's it. It's really simple. And I love that actually as a physician, because I am obsessed with this idea of food as medicine and how what we eat can help to make us healthy, or actually can sometimes make us sick. So I love the simplicity of this bread that has six ingredients that I can actually pronounce. I think that's a wonderful reminder every week when I'm making the bread. That, oh, that's right. It matters what we eat and the kinds of foods that we feed ourselves and our family.
And now, assuming that you have the ingredients in the right proportions, I'm assuming challah is a fairly healthy bread as well.
I think so. It certainly depends who you ask, because, you know, it is bread, and people have very strong opinions about that, particularly here in California, where I am. But back to my earlier comment, how it is real food, real ingredients. And I also, the more I've learned, really with my doctor hat on, with my doctor hat on and thinking about health and wellness and nutrition, the more I've really thought about the quality of the ingredients. So take, for example, the eggs. I used to just buy any old egg. I didn't really think about it. I thought, you know, eggs are eggs. I mean, I just went to the grocery store and bought eggs. But I've actually come to learn that there's a real difference between the eggs that you buy at the farmer's market, or if you're at the grocery store, the eggs that are the, you know, the organic, cage-free, pasture-raised, et cetera, like those kind of eggs are actually really different. And when I think about the kind of nutrients that I want both for me and for my family, I think about that. So now I make challah with ingredients that are much healthier than when I first started out, for example.
Now, since you started making it and found how calming it is to make, how different is the recipe now? Like, do you ever do any sort of juggling of the amounts of the different ingredients just to see how it might change the taste?
Oh, that's a great question. I do. The answer is yes and no. So originally I thought, okay, I will use whole wheat flour because, after all, I'm spending my days in the clinic telling my patients that they should try and eat less white flour, white rice, white bread, pasta, et cetera, and they should eat more whole grains, and I should try that too. But because I'm not a baker and because I didn't really understand the properties of whole wheat flour, I stuck with this recipe, and I just tried to change the flour, and needless to say, it didn't work very well. So I have gone back in this recipe to these ingredients. With that said, there are marvelous variations out there, and particularly since I've been on a book tour and meeting people who make all different kinds of challah. You can make whole wheat flour, you can challah, you can make gluten-free challah, you can make challah with all different flours, like spelt flour. I mean, the sky is the limit. So that's one way to change it. Then I normally make plain challah, meaning I don't sort of add anything or any decorations or toppings or things like that. Once a year at the Jewish New Year, I do make a challah with apples and honey. But again, I've been learning as I go around now that people do the most creative things with their challah. And I've met people who add fruit to their challah, or maybe they make it savory with olives and herbs. So there are lots of things you can do. You're absolutely right. You can get incredibly creative with this.
Now, because it is part of a religious tradition, are there any forbidden fruits, shall we say, that you cannot use in a challah?
I don't think there's probably anything forbidden per se, because I've seen challah recipes with butter and challah recipes with oil, and I use oil, vegetable oil. I do that because if you're going to keep kosher meat, so in the Jewish tradition, there is a tradition of keeping kosher where you don't mix milk and meat. So in that case, I wouldn't want to make it with butter and then serve chicken for dinner, for example. So I keep it neutral, and I make it just with oil. But what I love about this bread is that, as you said, it is religious, and there's a spiritual aspect to it. So when I make the bread, there are all these different opportunities in the process where I get to bring that in, and I get to bless it, if you will. So I learned, for example, maybe about 6 years ago, but halfway in this journey of mine, I learned that you can make the bread in honor of somebody, or in merit of somebody. And I didn't know that before. But I do that now every week, and I think it's really special. I think about, for example, if one of my kids has something special going on that week, or maybe they just studied extra hard for a test. Or maybe I think about, is there somebody I know in our community who's sick or who's not feeling well? And I make it in their merit or in the blessing of their well-being. And it just lends an extra special quality to the experience that I think elevates the whole experience.
So now, is challah served as part of a specific meal, or is it like, shall we say, the Western tradition of bread where it's just there?
Well, it's certainly served Friday nights at Shabbat dinner. Mm-hmm. We have family dinner every Friday night. And then I must say the leftovers make great challah French toast on Saturday. So we tend to not have too much leftover after that. So just say Friday, sometimes Saturday morning.
So now, when you make it in merit of someone or in honor of someone, when you serve it at the Shabbat, do you sometimes let your family know who this particular batch of challah was made in honor of?
I do, but now that you're mentioning it, I should do that more often. I don't do that every week. And that's a lovely idea. I think I'm going to start doing that. Thank you. I only do it rarely now, but that's a great idea. I'm going to do that more often. I think that would be fantastic.
Okay. We have to go to a break, Dr. Bath, but if you stay with me, we'll be back in a couple of minutes to talk some more about HALA.